the Fatima Center presents Faith, Salvation, and Humility, a 5-day Lenten mission directed by Father Michael Rodriguez. This is the conference given on the first day. Lord, increase our faith. Faith is necessary for salvation. But what is faith? Father describes 4 elements of faith and its relation to prayer. Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O Holy Ghost, Divine Spirit of light and love, I consecrate to Thee my mind, heart, and will, my whole being for time and eternity. May my mind be ever docile to Thy heavenly inspirations and to the teaching of the Holy Catholic Church, whose infallible guide Thou art. May my heart be ever inflamed with the love of God and my neighbor. May my will be ever conformed to the divine will, and may my whole life be a faithful imitation of the life and virtues of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom with the Father and Thee be honor and glory forever. Amen. The title of this year's Lenten mission is Salvation, Faith, and Humility. In St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles say to the Lord, increase our faith. This is one of the great petitions that is found in the Holy Gospels. It's one of the great petitions of the apostles, therefore also one of the great petitions of Holy Mother Church. The Holy Catholic Church as a whole should always make this prayer her own. Increase our faith. The great and inestimable gift of faith, of the Catholic faith. And so every single Catholic also should make this same petition. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase my faith. Let us keep this petition very much in mind during this Lenten mission. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Let us also keep very much in mind during this Lenten mission what we may call the great beatitude that was taught by our risen Lord and Savior. And that's found in St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 29. This is the Holy Gospel that we will hear on Low Sunday, the last day of the octave of Easter. And that great beatitude are the words that our Lord and Savior directed to St. Thomas. Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed, that's why it's a beatitude. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. Keep this very much in mind, because every single one of us has a very strong tendency to want to see, to want to feel, to want to experience. If people, for example, had heard that a great healer was going to be here tonight instead of little old Father Rodriguez, I can almost guarantee you that many, many more people would be here, because everyone wants to see. Everyone wants to experience. I'm sick. I want to be healed. It's so important that you take to heart this great beatitude of the Holy Gospel. the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. And I ask you also during this Lenten mission to keep very much in mind the example of the blind man of Jericho. In just 2 days, on Wednesday of this fourth week of Lent, we're going to hear the Holy Gospel of another blind man. That's how important this theme is of the blind men. And the whole point of this also is that we truly reflect on our lives and that we truly recognize that we are blind. And that the only way that we can truly see is with the light of faith. And the only way that we can see what really, really matters is with the light of faith. If we don't exercise our faith, we will never come to see and appreciate and understand what truly matters, what matters for eternity. And so, remember this passage of the Holy Gospel. It's the Holy Gospel that we heard right before the beginning of Lent on Quinquagesima Sunday. So you can go to your missals and you can find that Gospel. It's the Gospel of Quinquagesima Sunday. I'll read to you some of those verses. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 42. Now it came to pass, when Jesus drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside, begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. The petition of the blind man near Jericho is really, it's really the same petition as that of the apostles. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, that I may see. The blind man near Jericho is a marvelous example for us of faith and humility. These are two of the great themes of our Lenten mission, faith and humility. Throughout this Lenten mission, and really throughout our lives as Catholics, one of the things that we have to strive to do to grow in faith is to listen with more attention. To listen with more attention to the words of our Savior Jesus Christ and to believe them and to do our best to put them into practice. It's something very simple, but something that so often we fail to do. Pretty much every Sunday and pretty much every day when we come to Mass, we hear words of eternal life from our Savior Jesus Christ. And so often, they just kind of like zip by us. A great way to cooperate with the grace of God in order to grow in faith is to pay more attention to those words and to believe them and to try to put them into practice. I'll read to you yet another set of words of our Savior Jesus Christ. And he's warning us. These are words that often we should reflect on. They are words that should alert us to how diligently we have to work to grow in faith. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Jesus asks his disciples, "But yet the Son of Man, when he cometh, shall he find, think you, faith on earth?" And throughout this Lenten mission, I ask you to also keep very much in mind another set of beautiful words of our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to them with faith. Believe them. Make an effort to put them into practice. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, quote, "Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls." Close quote. St. Alphonsus Liguori, Doctor of the Church, teaches, quote, "We must be fully persuaded that in order to obtain eternal salvation," one of the themes of our Lenten mission, salvation, "in order to obtain eternal salvation, it is not enough to wish to be saved, but we must further take the means which have been left us by Jesus Christ. If we commit sins, it will not help us on the day of judgment to excuse ourselves by saying that the temptations were great and we were weak, because God has given us through His grace the means to conquer all the assaults of our enemies." Here I'm interrupting St. Alphonsus, but again, believe this because it is true. It has to do with who God is. God has given us through His grace the means to conquer all the assaults of our enemies. There isn't a single sin, there isn't a single vice that you cannot overcome. And it's not because you're great, it's not because you're super holy. It's because of the goodness of God and the omnipotence of God and the generosity of God that He gives us His grace so that we can conquer all of the assaults of our enemies. Continue with St. Alphonsus Liguori. "If then we will not take advantage of them and are overcome, the fault is our own. All men desire to be saved, but because they do not employ the means of salvation, they sin and are lost." Close quote. This is what happens. It's not because God doesn't care. It's not because God doesn't listen to our prayers. It's because men do not employ the means of salvation. Men do not believe in God and in His grace. Men do not ask for an increase of that grace. And because of that, they don't employ the means of salvation. They sin and are lost. It's a certainty. It is a 100% certainty that if we do not use the means that our Savior Jesus Christ has given us to save our souls, that we will sin and that we will be lost. It's impossible to save our souls without the help and the grace of God. As I mentioned to you yesterday in the sermon, as a kind of introduction to the mission, one thing is necessary to save your soul and get to heaven. We've talked about how it's so important that we pay attention to and believe the words of our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, all of the words of our Savior Jesus Christ in the Holy Gospels, all of His miracles, this is the message. you know, sometimes a little bit more explicit, other times less so. But everything that Jesus is saying is to help us to save our souls, to urge us to save our souls, and to get to heaven. And so, believe this, that the one thing necessary is to save your soul and get to heaven. Remind yourself of this every single morning. This will be a help. It's a very specific way to help you to grow in faith. Don't just say, Lord, increase my faith. When you wake up in the morning, remind yourself, God has given me life this day, and He has. God has given me life this day so that I can save my soul and get to heaven. What am I going to do? Remember. Remember what we just heard from St. Alphonsus Liguori. Don't forget real quickly. He just finished telling us that if we don't take advantage of the grace that God gives us, and because of that we sin and we're lost, the fault is our own. The Catholic that doesn't remind himself or herself often, I'm here this day to save my soul and get to heaven. His fault, her fault. So in this Lenten mission, what we're going to reflect on is we're going to reflect on two of the great means that our Savior Jesus Christ has given us to save our souls and get to heaven. The means of salvation. And that's why, again, remember, St. Alphonsus Liguori is saying, it's not enough to just want to be saved. We have to use the means which have been left us by Jesus Christ. Two of those are faith and humility. And think about this, because one needs great faith to really value humility and to grow in humility. If you're not strong in your faith, you're not going to value humility, you're not going to grow in humility. And whenever the opportunities come for you to practice humility, you're going to fall flat on your face. Somebody's going to humiliate you, ignore you, get you upset, and you're going to respond not in a good way. Because your faith is weak. And one needs humility in order to really grow in faith. One has to truly believe, Lord, I am nothing. I'm a blind man. Lord, help me to see. Help me to understand. Help me to live according to the light that you give me. Your teachings and the teachings of your church. One needs humility to live by faith. So, our themes, salvation, faith, humility. Faith is necessary to salvation. Really, we can say it's the great means that our Lord has given us so that we can save our souls. And that's why we want to keep thinking about this great beatitude. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Faith is necessary to salvation. No one can save their souls without faith. Again, impossible. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We may add, without faith, it is impossible to turn to God. You can't even direct yourself to God. How are you going to pray to God if you don't have faith? And again, these are things to think about, because the main reason why so many souls do not pray is because they don't believe. And the reason why so many times we fail to pray, and we fail to pray well, and we fail to pray with devotion, is because of our lack of faith. We don't really believe that God is present and that God is listening to our prayers and that The reason why we're here on this earth is to adore Him and to thank Him and to ask for His help. If you believe that, how can you not pray? Without faith, it is impossible to live for God. You're going to live for yourself. I promise you this. You're going to live for yourself. You're going to live for what the world offers you. Whatever powers and pleasures that the world offers you, that's what you're going to live for. Guaranteed. And again, faith is necessary to salvation. The words of Jesus Himself. Again, listen to the words of our Savior Jesus Christ. Believe them. They are true. Try to put them into practice. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, quote, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Christ's promise. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. All you have to do is to truly believe, to truly grow in faith. Jesus Himself is saying, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned." Close quote. These are not my words. These are not my thoughts. This is not opinion. This is the truth. Relevant to what I just told you in the sermon for Mass, this is the rock. When I spoke to you about the rock of faith, what has to be the foundation? Obviously, the rock is also Saint Peter, the church. Ultimately, the rock, the foundation, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His words. Saint Augustine, doctor of the church, he provides a magnificent description of the happiness and blessings of faith. Quoting St. Augustine, "There is no greater wealth, no greater treasure, no greater honor, and no greater possession in the world than the Catholic faith. It saves the sinner, enlightens the blind, strengthens the weak, justifies the faithful, converts the wicked, increases the number of the just, crowns the martyrs, and preserves the virgins, the widows, and the married in the modesty and chastity becoming to their state. It consecrates the priests and puts us with the angels in possession of our eternal inheritance." Close quote. Also believe these words of one of the greatest doctors of the Catholic Church. Believe that there's no greater treasure and no greater possession in the world than the Catholic faith. Again, believe. Think about this. If we really believed that the greatest possession and the greatest treasure in the world is the Catholic faith, how is it possible that so many Catholics are willing to set the Catholic faith aside for the possession, so to speak, of someone who isn't Catholic? And I'm talking about those that, let's say, are thinking of marrying someone who isn't Catholic. Considering to marry someone that's not Catholic. Thinking ahead and saying, okay, then what about my children? How is it that they're going to be raised Catholic? It's like, how can you possibly be living this way if you believed that the greatest treasure and the greatest possession in the world is the Catholic faith? And what you would do is if you really cared about someone and you really loved someone and they weren't Catholic, you would do everything you could to help them to become Catholic. Because that's the greatest treasure. You're not the greatest treasure for them. The Catholic faith is the greatest treasure for them. When the Israelites were journeying through the desert, and again, this is an image for us of also us now, the people of God, journeying through the desert, journeying through our pilgrimage here on this earth. Because the Israelites were on their way to the promised land. We're on the way, we're supposed to be on the way to heaven. Again, one thing is necessary to save your soul and get to heaven. Get yourself on the right path. So when the Israelites were journeying through the desert, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night showed them the way to the promised land. God was guiding his people. The archangel Raphael assisted the young Tobias and protected him on his journey. The angels showed the shepherds the place where they might find the divine child in the manger, where they might find salvation, where they might come to know our Savior Jesus Christ. And the Star of Bethlehem led the three wise men of the East unerringly to the spot where they might find the newborn King of the Jews. All of these point to the gift of faith. That's why St. Augustine says that it is the greatest treasure, the greatest possession. Because the Catholic faith will infallibly lead you to heaven. You have to follow it, you have to believe it, you have to live it. How can there be any greater treasure? Catholic faith goes before us in the desert of life like a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's our Catholic faith. It guides us in the day and it guides us at night. It is our protecting angel on our journey into eternity. Our Catholic faith. That's why our Savior Jesus Christ, I mentioned this yesterday in the sermon. I'll mention it here in just a few moments because it's central. This is why our Savior Jesus Christ constantly calls us to faith. Because he's giving us this greatest treasure. He's giving us this greatest possession. So that we can believe in him, so that we can love him, so that we can one day be with him in heaven. So the Catholic faith is our protecting angel on our journey into eternity. It points out to us the true way to God. And like a brilliant star, leads us to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and at last to everlasting bliss. Always keep in mind, again, that star that led the three magi to adore the Christ child. Because that star in the heavens is a great symbol of the light of faith. It is the faith. It is our Catholic faith that is going to lead us to Jesus. It's going to lead us to heaven. How can we not value our Catholic faith? How can we think it's no big deal if other people aren't Catholic or if they've left the Catholic Church? Jesus constantly calls us to faith. Jesus constantly calls us to believe in him and in God his Father. John 14 verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. Again, all of the words of our Savior Jesus Christ are words of salvation. Believe them and put them into practice. From the beginning, Jesus' preaching is an urgent call to faith. Mark chapter 1 verse 15. The kingdom of God is at hand. repent and believe in the gospel. When preaching, Jesus calls his hearers to believe in him and his teachings. If you believe in Jesus, you must believe in his teachings. And his teachings are not just found in sacred scripture. He teaches through his church. That's why he founded his church. There's no such thing as believing in Jesus and setting aside the teachings of his church. After having performed his first public miracle at the wedding of Cana, we read in John chapter 2 verse 11, quote, "And he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Close quote. Everything that's going on in the Gospels, again, is so that souls will believe in Jesus. He's constantly calling them to faith. In John chapter 4, this is the Gospel that we just heard a few days ago. I referenced it yesterday in the sermon. This is the Holy Gospel of Friday of the third week of Lent. In John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman next to Jacob's well comes to believe in Jesus the Messiah, who is called Christ, as well as many of her fellow citizens. In Mark chapter 2, when Jesus sees the faith of the friends of the paralytic. We're not even talking about the paralytic. Remember this, because it's a beautiful example of how we can intercede for others because of our faith. If you know of someone, a loved one, that is far from the faith, people, hit it. Because if your faith grows stronger, that's one of the most beautiful ways that you can help them. We have to believe this. And so in Mark chapter 2, when Jesus sees the faith of the friends of the paralytic, he says to the paralytic of Capernaum, I mean, incredible. It's not even his faith. He's seen the faith of his friends, and he says, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." In Mark chapter 5, a woman who had a blood hemorrhage for 12 years approaches Jesus. She, believing, touches his garment. Jesus felt that power had gone out of him, and he said to the woman, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be thou whole of thy disease." And another example, there are many, but another example in Luke chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 lepers. One of the 10, who was a Samaritan, returns to worship Jesus, to believe in him, obviously also to thank him. He fell on his face before the feet of Jesus to thank him. And Jesus says to him, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole." Let us especially try to keep in mind Jesus constantly calling us to the faith and to faith and offering us this great gift, a means of salvation. This isn't just something that we're reading in sacred scripture. In the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Jesus is present as in no other way. He's calling us constantly to faith. And especially also by his real presence in the Holy Eucharist. One of the greatest tragedies in the history of Christianity is precisely this. All those who reject the truth of how Jesus is present, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. And what we must do is we must make every effort to make reparation. Remember the Fatima prayer. We just prayed it. I prayed it here at the end of the sermon that I just gave, and I'm going to pray it 3 times in just a few moments here. If there are many that do not believe in Jesus, in Jesus' real presence in the Holy Eucharist, well, we should pray even more and with greater faith. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee. For those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. There's so much reparation that we have to make. Jesus is constantly also calling us to faith. How? Through sacred scripture. And also through doctrine. Both. There are a lot of clowns out there. And I say there are a lot of clowns out there because they try to pit sacred scripture against doctrine. I mean, I'm thinking, where is your faith? It's Jesus Himself who speaks to us through sacred scripture. He speaks to us through the doctrines of His church. He's teaching us. Just like Jesus taught during those 3 years of His public ministry, always teaching the truth, always calling to faith, to believe in those truths. He's still doing that today through His church. Why do you think He established the church's magisterium? Because He continues to teach through His church. This is also why He's given us His most holy mother. So that we may believe in Him. He's constantly calling us to faith through His most holy mother. Don't ever forget the words of our blessed mother. We already, I just told you a little bit about the wedding at Cana, John chapter 2. When the disciples come to believe, it's no coincidence that at this great event of faith in Christ, no coincidence that the mother of Jesus is there. And that it's her action, her intercession, that brings about this great miracle that then brings many souls to believe in Jesus. And those words of our Blessed Mother, beautiful words of our Blessed Mother, do whatever He tells you. That's one of the most beautiful calls to faith that we have in all of sacred scripture and that exists in the entire history of Catholicism. Because if you're doing whatever He tells you, what you're doing is you're believing in Him, you're obeying Him, and you're on the path to salvation. And our Lord also is constantly calling us to faith through the life of prayer. That's why He commands us to pray without ceasing, to pray always. And why He, I don't know that I'll have time to go through all the examples. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, we'll see. But there's so many examples in the Holy Gospels of Jesus praying. Again, just think back on the first Sunday of Lent. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus tempted in the desert. What is He doing? He's praying and fasting. He teaches us to pray. He teaches His disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Because this is going to be one of the great paths to grow in faith. Again, it works both ways. You need faith in order to pray. If your faith is weak, you're not going to pray. At the same time, it is precisely by praying that you're going to be able to grow in your faith. And that's why a lot of things that happen in prayer, God always listens to our prayers, always. That doesn't mean that all our petitions are going to be answered the way that we want them to. But what is certainly taking place is God is working on our souls. He's purifying our souls. He's helping us to grow in faith. And that's why a lot of times there's struggles as we pray. That's why a lot of times there's temptations. We get distracted. We get discouraged. One of the reasons why it's so important whenever we talk about prayer, that we persevere in our prayer. It's one of the beautiful things about novenas, that the novenas teach us to persevere, to not just pray one day, but 9 days. Let's now try to give a quick overview of what is faith. Listen carefully, because there's a lot, there's massive confusion about what is faith. Faith is a supernatural virtue infused by God in the soul, by which man believes on God's authority, the truths which God has revealed and teaches through His holy church. In this definition of faith, we can highlight four elements of faith. The first one, it is infused by God. That's why we have to pray for faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, strengthen my faith. It's a gift that God gives us. Obviously, that begins at baptism, as I also mentioned in yesterday's sermon. So, number one, the origin of faith, it is infused by God. It's God's gift. Number two, by faith, one is believing the truths which God has revealed. Now, ultimately, the object of our faith is God. We are being united to Him when we believe, because God is truth. But the, let's say, specific way that we're believing in God is we're believing in the truths that He has revealed. Don't forget this. This is central to faith. Because there's a lot of people, this is why I say there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people have this idea of faith of just, well, like, I make this like confession of faith that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in Jesus any way I want, or I believe in Jesus based on how I read the sacred scriptures. That's not faith. Faith is believing in the truths that God Himself has revealed. Jesus founded a church. Jesus gave us His mother. Jesus gives us Himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We have to believe this. This is faith. So, the second point, special focus on the truths that God has revealed. We're not talking about feelings, and we're not talking about, I had this great experience like St. Paul. Again, St. Paul's was a great experience and a great miracle. But I'm saying this because you're these people, I had this very moving experience, and I felt the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and I was healed, and now I believe in Jesus, my Lord and Savior, all these things. And it's like, okay, but what does that have to do with you submitting, sacrificing your intellect and your will to the truths that God reveals? That's faith, not this other stuff. So don't forget number one and number two. Number three, one believes due to God's authority, because God has revealed it. Not because this is what I think, this is what I like, this is what my pastor is preaching. We believe because God Himself has revealed it. He's the one who teaches it, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. It's so sad. You know, so many Catholics, well, I don't agree with this teaching of the Catholic Church. I don't agree with what the Church teaches about artificial contraception or now in vitro fertilization. I mean, who cares? I mean, really, who cares what you think? You may say, oh, I've done all these different studies. This is what all the science says. Faith is not based on what the science says. It's not based on what the experts say. It's not based on what the polls say. It's because God has revealed this as true. And so even if I'm the only one believing that the Catholic Church can never bless sin and bless sinful unions, it doesn't make any difference if all the other Catholics, so-called Catholics, or all the other bishops, so-called bishops, are saying something else. We believe on God's authority. And number four, God has revealed His truths through His holy church. Very important. This is the means that God has chosen to reveal His truths. Don't ever forget this. And this applies also to sacred scripture. Please, know this. Sacred scripture did not fall from heaven. Sacred scripture is the book of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the one who told us. We're talking historically. It's the Catholic Church that told us and teaches us. These are the books that are truly inspired by God. And the way the Catholic Church determined that, yes, she is guided by the Holy Ghost, but also in a human way, the way that the Church determined that is the Church simply reflected on her faith, on the teachings that she preserved that came to her from the time of the apostles, and compared and said, this book, this Gospel of St. Luke, it is in conformity, in harmony with what we believe. It is inspired by God. This other Gospel, the Gospel according to St. Mary Magdalene, no, there are things in this Gospel that do not conform to the faith, to the rule of faith. This is not inspired by God. So, what we'll do beginning tomorrow is we'll just take a few moments to say a little bit about these four aspects of what is faith. And then we'll move on to all the other different topics of the Lenten mission. Let us pray. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maneat semper. Amen. May you have a blessed night, and I hope to see you tomorrow. This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We encourage you to participate in our 100 by 100 First Saturday Challenge. For the consecration of Russia and triumph of the Immaculate Heart, we earnestly desire to offer Our Lady a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 First Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request for this devotion, December 10th, 2025.
sign up and update your progress at fatima.org/100x100. Each first Saturday, Our Lady asks us to make a good confession within 8 days, receive Holy Communion, pray the Rosary, and meditate for 15 minutes on the mysteries of the Rosary, offering each of these acts in reparation for the blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Please include the Fatima Center among those apostolates to whom you send a portion of your monthly tithe. Regular monthly donors are vital for our continuing operation. Visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. Thank you, and may God reward you. Immaculate Heart of Mary, be our salvation.